Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. My name is Josh, amateur radio callsign KI6NAZ, and on this podcast, I like to take my wife kicking and screaming into the world of amateur radio. Without further ado, let's get started. We're back again, Leia. Third day back to school. How are you holding up?
You know what? I'm trying to be very positive about everything. It's really great because there's no morning rush out the door, right?
I saw your post on Facebook. It was very good.
Yes, I'm trying to focus on the positives of virtual schooling.
Yeah.
And think about how the grass is not really greener on the other side.
Right, when you flip it all around, if we had to go back.
Right.
There's a hustle and bustle in the morning to get out the door.
Plus all the additional precautions we would have to take.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The kids would have to have clean masks every day.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd need to have their hand sanitizer on them. I need to coach them in the morning that they'd have to listen to the teacher, sit in their seats. And I don't know if you know this about our kids. They're not good at that part.
I do know this about them. Yes, indeed.
I mean, I've literally, I volunteered in classrooms that Ben has been in over the years, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Ben is literally the kid that will get out of his seat and then go chase another child around the classroom. I have walked in
during school?
At Chinese school.
Oh.
I have literally seen, I've walked in on a teacher screaming at Ben to sit down.
No.
And that is so ingrained in my mind, mm-hmm, that every time they talk about going back to school, I'm like, I don't think they can do it.
Right.
And if they could, they'd be miserable all day.
So that's you are that teacher now. You have become that teacher.
Yes.
This is your lot in life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is, you know, our district has committed to this uniform pacing, mm-hmm, right? So whereas in classrooms, teachers used to be able to pace the class based off of where the class is.
Okay.
The district has committed to
like
all classes.
Oh.
In the same grade, pace at the same amount. So they're hitting the same lessons.
Okay.
At the same time. And presumably that's so that when the schools can open in person, the families that want to go back in person will be at the same starting point as everybody who will continue virtually.
What about kids that just get left behind? Like they just can't follow along?
I don't have an answer for you. I can't imagine, though, that any kids are being left behind. And this is why. Mm-hmm. So this is the first 3 days.
And this is a Ham Radio podcast. I'm just
Yeah.
But you seem very, very passionate.
I'm very
about
passionate
this right
about
now.
This. So what they've ended up doing is they're reviewing way far back to the mm-hmm point where Ben is bored.
Okay.
And he's trying to get up out of his seat, uh-huh, because other kids are still working on their work, mm-hmm, and he's done. Mm-hmm. So then he comes out from his desk alcove that I've built him.
Right.
And
his sensory deprivation area is constructed to keep him focused.
Yeah, that's not fair. There's no deprivation, but there's no distractions in the room. And I can just imagine that, mm-hmm, if he were in a classroom, he would just be getting up out of his seat at that point. He's like, I'm done now.
It.
Yeah.
And where is the Minecraft now?
Yes.
Where is the Minecraft?
That's more Edison than Ben.
The kids are like ruined for like, I don't know what's going to happen when they actually go back.
I know. Oh, it'll be fine.
I'm sure
it's
a different
environment.
But still.
But my friend who has a second grader, her first 3 days were covering the exact same thing the first graders were covering.
Okay.
So I can't imagine anybody's being left behind at all. It seems like they're all starting at maybe a kindergarten level right now.
Very good. Yes. Well, thank you for catching us up on that one.
Yes.
Again, everybody listening, thanks so much for tuning into the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast.
Well, that's what you get.
That's what you get.
Dragging me kicking and streaming into a podcast.
There is give and take in all of it, right? It must be give and take. So we... Obviously, I have the YouTube channel where it's just Ham Radio.
I'm not on that at all.
100% of the time. Leia has only been on, I think, maybe one live stream that I've done.
Oh, that was where I failed my first
attempt at the technician and test. Yeah, and so we thought, well, let's turn that into a podcast. And so that's why we're here. But anyway, if you want to check out more of the Ham Radio content, that is available on the YouTubes, and there's obviously Instagram, Twitter, the Facebook page, the Discord server, which is larger than ever and just getting bigger. But this podcast is a little more kind of back to basics. We have a conversation about ham radio topics, and I try and make it approachable.
Well, we actually start out with my study sessions because there is no other time I can carve out in my week.
Well, speaking of that, we do have a bit of a show that we've built here.
A show format.
And what we like to do is kick it off with some of the reviews we've gotten. We have two five-star reviews. Thank you for that. On iTunes, you can review us in other locations, but iTunes is kind of the
thank
big
you
one.
For the 5 stars. Yeah.
So Malk07 says, hilarious and informative.
Wonderful.
The lines about the rock in episode 51 were such a dad joke. Hilarious nonetheless. Glad that you guys broached the subject of barriers to entry into the community as well. So thank you, Malk07.
That's a really nice comment, because I think I said this last week. I don't know that it would be so welcoming if it were just me, some random Asian woman interested in ham radio, that it was not married to you, a ham.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, we do have a little bit of the secret sauce, I guess, kind of. I mean, I get it. I could just talk into a microphone, but then...
People watch you do that once a week.
No, they watch me. They don't just listen, right? There's more to it than that. But having you here is a good dynamic, I think. So we got another 5-star with a username I can't even try to pronounce. Struvvukrxttub. Something like that. Really, really long username.
I think iTunes lets you use whatever name
great.
You want.
And they did. Yeah. A true favorite. What a great team. Keep the podcast coming. I love the format. Educational without the dry, boring portion. I listen while out for my exercise walk, and the fun conversations helps me forget about my ingrown toenail.
Oh, no.
Wonderful. Keep studying, Leia. You'll be ready to go up to general before you realize it.
Oh, that is really putting the cart before the horse.
Putting multiple carts before the horse.
So many carts.
Mm-hmm. At least two. Technician in general.
Yeah.
So the other.
I think we had a conversation actually that once I pass my technician, maybe the next thing should actually be a CW study session.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what we're going to talk about today. To kind of hint, if you haven't already read the title of this podcast, which I've already picked.
Oh, I see.
From
okay.
our little thing that happened this morning before
yes.
I headed off to work.
Oh, that was a hot talk.
That was a fast 10 minutes of intense discussion, which we are going to expound upon later in the podcast. So make sure you stick around for that. But before then, Leia has the Letters to Leia segment where... You can email Leia directly at leia@hamtactical.com, which is the home of the Ham Radio Crash Course merch, along with all the funny little things you cook up in and around ham radio.
Yes. I design different shirts based off of concepts that I start to grasp. I'm sure.
So last...
Like, I understand that QRP is for heroes. That yeah. is deeply ingrained in me now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we did go ahead and come up with that G.I. Joe shirt we were talking about. That's on...
The last podcast, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We did get another suggestion.
Oh.
It's from Justin Markle. He is KB3MCQ, and he says, Leia, love the podcast. I've been trying to get my wife to listen. Good luck with that, buddy.
I can barely get her to be on it.
Been thinking about your shirts. My idea is a shirt with He-Man holding a QRP rig above his head, and then the big letters that say, have low power. And he says, keep up the great work. That is a great idea for a shirt.
Oh, it should be, I have low power.
Yeah, it says, I have low power.
Okay. Okay, I didn't
Is that not what I said?
No, it didn't sound like
oh,
it.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's
says,
He-Man's reference is I have the power. So right, I have right. low power. Very good.
It's a very good design good. For a shirt.
Copyright infringement.
Huge issues. Exactly.
Yeah.
We can't. I mean, even with the G.I. Joe one, I had to change it significantly enough.
Sorry, lawyers, it's not He-Man. This is Person Man.
Yes. It's Ham Man.
It's Ham Man. Thank you. Did you just gender my he person?
Yeah.
It's not Person Man. It would be he person, right? Is that how it works?
I don't
even. Okay.
It would be the blank person. You can't.
Nondescript human. With or large
X,
muscles.
X person. Then you're getting into X-Men territory. This is very problematic.
Let's just see how many lawsuits we can get.
So even the G.I. Joe inspired design is far enough away from the originating
it's
G.I. Joe.
Like an American flag, and you can't really copyright the American flag.
Yeah.
We obviously didn't want to recreate the American flag, though, for the obviously the flag law, which is another law people don't really behave by, but you know, I still respect it.
I see a lot of that wrong stuff on TikTok. But I do want to thank Justin for that suggestion. I love shirt suggestions.
I love that suggestion. It's
I just can't do
with.
Them all.
Sure.
You know?
You can get you at leia@hamtactical.com. Yeah.
I do really want to note something, though.
Okay.
The Ham Tactical contact information on that website, that all goes to me.
It goes to Leia specifically.
Yes. And so if you're trying to reach Josh, Ham Tactical, I will forward everything. I think I've said this before. I'm happy to forward everything. I promise you, Josh does not prioritize communication, third-party communication that comes through me as much as he does a direct message to him.
Hoshnasi@gmail.com. Yeah. You have my Instagram, Hoshnasi. You have the Facebook group. You have the Discord. There's so many ways to reach out to me. And I literally get messages
all the time.
All day long.
Yeah.
All day long. So just jump right on top of the pile.
I've gotten a few messages, which I have forwarded. I even got, I want to say I got a voicemail today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about that kind of sliding into the DMs. I don't know if that's all right.
But it was literally this is a quick question
for
Leia,
Josh. Hey, Leia, can you tell Josh that?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm nowhere near him right now.
Like, bro. I can't.
This is, you're much better off emailing him or contacting him some other way.
Go direct.
Yeah.
Save time. Go direct.
So I also got a message from John B. John Burham, who is KI7ZCS. He said that the podcast last week played back so fast that he felt like he was listening to CW at 80 words per minute. He was listening on the Stitcher app, and I went to go listen to it on the Stitcher app. It sounded okay.
Yeah.
But if you guys have any issues like that, shoot me a message too so I can figure out, like, let me know what platform you're listening on so that I can go and see if it's an issue with our upload on the platform.
Well, I mean, most podcast apps will let you increase the playback speed.
Right. I honestly don't find Hams to be not tech savvy. So if he's saying that it's
playing back
that
fast. I'm not saying him personally, but absolutely some Hams are not tech savvy.
Okay.
It takes all kinds.
Got you. Okay, then I have a message from Michael D. who says, thank you for being an extra special guest. I'll just read the whole thing. It says, hey, Leia, I messaged Josh with a question about the G90, but you need a shout out too for making the weekly podcast the highlight of my drive to and from work. That is so nice.
That's very nice.
That is so nice. This is a level of appreciation that I don't get virtual schooling my kids at home.
No, they definitely don't email you. They don't even know how to log into the Chromebook.
Oh, Ben knows how to do it now.
Okay.
It's a slippery slope, though.
Yeah, that's...
You know?
You got back that time now.
Yeah, I'm going to
pay back that time in the future.
I can usually get a whole episode in on each trip, binge listening the backlog. I wish I could have a beer or three while listening. Alas, I'm an RN and it wouldn't be kosher. Keep studying. Honestly, if you read Craig Buck, K41A, on Amazon, you could be ready in a week.
Is that the fast track?
Oh, maybe. Thanks for laughing at every surprising revelation on spending. It gives me hope. Don't take that as hope.
No.
You know what's really funny is my sister came for a socially distanced backyard visit
Yes.
This week. And she had not noticed the antenna before
on the roof. I pointed it out to her like when I put it up.
I don't know. She didn't remember.
Oh, it's like way more oppressive when you see it from the backyard. Yeah, not okay. Impressive. Oppressive.
Yes.
It's way closer
because
to you.
Because you know what she said? She goes, it looks like your house has a propeller and it's about to take off.
Your brother said the same thing when he saw it. No, it's no joke. I'll take a picture of it and put it on Instagram because I don't think people appreciate the A-frame part of where the antenna mast is closer to the backyard than the front yard. So it's bigger. You were like partially under it.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
I don't know what the deal with my family and propellers are, though. That's.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't spin that fast.
That's our bug out plan.
That's it.
We're going to start
fly away.
Yeah, the antenna doubles.
We just reposition the house in safer areas.
Yeah, exactly.
When an earthquake happens, the house just automatically lifts itself up 10 feet, you know, just hovers and then sets itself back down gracefully.
Yeah, that sounds like it's totally likely.
Yeah, totally
feasible.
Possible.
Feasible.
Yeah, super feasible.
And then I got a message from Stan, who was messaging me about a shirt question, but then said, by the way, you're a huge plus to the show. Keep up the great work.
It's true. You are. Thank you for coming
out. So nice. Warms this cold. I wouldn't say cold heart. The kids ruined me. I used to have a very cold heart. Now I'm just all.
You used to have a very cold heart, and
yeah.
Now.
Now, after having kids, I'm like crying at Hallmark movies and stuff. It's just
I see what you're saying. Cold heart usually means like ruthless and mean. I don't think that was you.
Is it? Or is it untouched by emotion?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we had sushi this evening, and I went to go pick it up. And there was a sign in the front that said 30% off alcohol.
Yeah, the restaurants in our area are not doing well.
No. So I just bought like 2 bottles of sake. Sake. And I got the Kikisue or Kikisu Junmai Ginjo. It is an inexpensive sake, which we pretty much polished that thing off. That was 300 milliliters. But I got a better one. It's the Atokoyama, specifically the Tokabitsu Junmai, which we're going to try in a little bit. And I'm sure I butchered the pronunciation of that. But
so
it's good.
Josh's idea of doing a tasting was to start with the cheapest sake and then move up to the more expensive sake.
Every wine tasting you've ever been to works the same way.
No, it does not. It works off of the lightest flavor to the strongest flavor.
This is the lightest flavor.
How do you know?
Because I read the flavor profile and I asked them.
Fair enough.
That and this is more expensive. So that was why.
Well, that's what you led with. And I was like, if I'm doing a tasting, I want to drink the most expensive thing first.
When I still have my brain about me.
So that I can fully experience it versus my senses being numbed by cheap alcohol first.
Mm-hmm. It's not cheap. I didn't say it was cheap. I'm just saying.
Right. Stepping it up.
Yes. I thought I was. But I should have added
more of those characteristic notes.
This is the light one. This is the darker one. I mean, it's sake, so it's not darker, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The second one is like more dry.
This is made from brown rice or something? How did it get darker?
It's stout rice. It's very short.
This sake was aged in bourbon barrels.
No.
What's happening?
No, not sake. Don't do it.
Or it's like this sake. Sake has been aged in soy sauce barrels.
Oh, no. Or it's aged in Hibiki barrels or whatever.
That would be amazing, actually.
Yeah,
I would try that.
Well, you put it on long enough. Straight into the next segment, Leia. How's the technician class test going for you?
I mean, pretty much the same as where we left off, because that's actually how this segment works.
I laugh because it's just the saddest thing. I just don't know how you're going to remember any of this stuff. There was one of the weeks where you got some of the replays of the same questions and you still got some of them wrong, man.
I know. I'm really worried, actually.
I mean, I know you. We will read the same book, and then years later we'll talk about it, and then you'll just look at me like, when did that happen?
I don't retain movies.
Yeah, you don't.
If it's not something that I feel will be extremely useful, I will not remember it.
Okay.
So I guess that says something.
That's a little scary. That goes right back into what I'm worried about exactly.
No, this is, I was told that this is going to be very useful. I believe you.
Oh, yes.
When you tell me things, I believe you.
You lie so hard.
You have my utmost faith and confidence.
Oh. Yeah. It's warming my cold heart right now. Your words.
I remember everything you say.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, probably things you don't want me to remember.
I'd say more of that than what I really want you to remember.
Do you remember that time you told me I could put all this stuff in the garage? No. Well, it was 5 years ago.
Before any of this stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm actually on question 22 of 35.
We're getting there.
We should just finish it, right? And see how I score.
Let's see how you do.
We should go all the way to 35. It would be a big jump in my studies because it's seven questions instead of five.
Are we cramming right now?
It'll be the first test I finish on the podcast.
How many episodes are we in? I don't even know.
You know what? I'm going to have to say something about this.
You're just prolonging the inevitable right now.
Because you know what? You podcast listeners, I appreciate you so much.
Uh-huh.
Because there has not been one like mean or racist comment. But if you remember
that stream. It was like one guy, though.
But still. Like you've got to have some kind of nerve to roll into somebody's YouTube channel and then say racist things against his wife.
Oh, it was super racist. It was like next level racism.
And I was actually like a little shook by it. So I was telling some of my girlfriends.
Oh, this actually has a brownish tint to it.
I'm still on the the light.
Okay.
The light, less expensive sake. I was telling some of my girlfriends about it and they were like, oh my God, is that what ham radio is like? And I was like, No.
No, it is not.
But I guess that's what happens when you put yourself on the internet.
I mean, all hobbies have it.
Yeah.
Right. Ham radio is no exception. There is a license, but it's not that difficult to get the license. So
then why am I doing all this studying?
Well, that was YouTube too, so who knows? Right? What do you mean? We're not even studying. You're taking a practice exam.
Oh, this is not studying?
I mean, it is.
Isn't your advice to just take a bunch of practice exams and then I'm still drinking?
Oh, I thought you were done. Jesus.
Please don't just pour things into my drink. Thank you.
Okay. Go
Thank
ahead.
You.
What's
okay.
You're, right. you're not getting through all of this.
I am. We're going to blow right through it. Okay. I'm going to read it really fast. I'm going to make the decision.
Leia, don't
and then
fail
I'm going
it.
To answer.
Don't just speed take it.
What happens to power lost in a feed line? Now John's going to be like, you are really talking fast. Sorry, John.
I had to slow it down to lower than one.
Yeah.
I was at like 0.8.
What happens to power lost in a feed line? A, it's converted to heat. B, it comes back into your transmitter and could cause damage. C, it can cause distortion of your signal. D, it increases the SWR. So,
da-da-na-na.
It causes a distortion of your signal. Isn't this what you went around the house trying to figure out?
Totally unrelated.
So
Those
that's
are
not
totally
the right
totally unrelated things.
That's not.
It's specifically talking about feed line loss, right?
It happens to what happens to the power lost in a feed line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, living with you has not been beneficial.
I mean, those are wholly unrelated things. RFI, radio frequency interference, has nothing to do with this.
Okay, it comes back to your transmitter and could cause damage. No, it's converted to heat? Really?
Correct. So,
oh, is that how you cook a hot dog?
No. It's talking about feed line loss.
Okay.
Wasn't it feed line?
Yeah.
Lost in the feed line.
Mm-hmm.
Means that the feed line is damaged. The feed
line. So that
line,
it heats up and sets on itself on fire?
The feed line has some kind of imperfection, either from manufacture or from being coiled or maybe bent too tightly, like crimped on one end.
Is the feed line the connector between the antenna
it's
and
the coax?
The,
It's the wire.
But what does it connect? The antenna on the radio?
To the radio, yeah. And so the radio is transmitting power through the feed line. And if there's an imperfection or something that is that would equate to a feed line loss, it's just going
to heat up. Me a damaged feed line could set your house on fire?
No. I mean, I guess it depends on how much power you're putting out. A lot of power, maybe.
God, everybody go check your feed lines.
Realistically, though, you would just see it as a reduced power transmission output.
But you're saying that it's converted to heat.
Yeah, but not like fire-inducing heat unless you're putting out like a massive amount of power. Well over what people would be doing.
Oh, you're like just talking like a heat plate heat?
At 100 watts, it would be warm to the touch.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
I take back what I said. Don't worry about your feed lines.
No,
I mean,
do
be
worry
safe
about
out there.
No, because that power is not actually getting to the antenna. So you have a 100-watt transmitter.
Right.
All feed line has some kind of loss to it,
right.
Meaning 100% of that 100 watts isn't getting to your antenna.
And then do you test that with an ohm meter?
You can test feed line loss with an ohm meter. They make special tools to do feed line loss, though, that will tell you how lossy your cable is.
How lossy?
And if you buy more expensive cable, it usually is less lossy. And that's why you pay more for it. And it's usually thicker.
Mm.
So the thicker the cable is usually less lossy. The thinner
the
cable.
I feel like everything you tell me really has to do with how much more money you need to spend.
I have pretty expensive coax cable. I have LMR 400, which is generally pretty good stuff.
Is that like the top of the line?
No. Top of the line is like hard line. Like physically hard line. Mine is flexible.
Okay. All right.
A hard line is like semi-rigid to fully hard.
Okay. What type of switch is represented by component 3 in figure
yes.
T2? Mm. Perfect podcast question.
Yep,
okay.
Perfect.
So component 3 mm-hmm. is two dots with a line between them that looks like a swingy arm.
Yep. Yes.
And next to it, along the circuit, is a number 2. It looks like a rectangle. Tootsie
Why are you
pop?
Talking about the other things? Didn't
I don't
ask
know.
You just about
I don't
three?
Okay. So I shouldn't pay attention to the other components.
No,
they're
just
not,
asking you what type of switch
they're just
is it?
Not. They're just not relevant.
Probably not.
Okay. So my options are A, single pull, single throw. Mm-hmm. B, double pull, double throw. C, double pull, single throw. D, single pull, double throw. What?
How many lines are coming in and out of the switch?
It's just it's two dots, and then dot has a line coming out of it mm-hmm. that's not touching the other dot, an
Correct.
Open white dot.
Yeah,
and there's one line coming into one dot.
Mm-hmm. So each dot have a line coming into it.
Yes,
that would be like your circuitry path, your wire, if you will.
Right. Okay. So. Are the dots supposed to be poles? Okay, I'm going to call double pull, single throw. Single pull, single throw.
It's one line. It's one wire you're completing.
Oh, so if there were two circuits coming out of it, then it would have been a double pull, single throw?
Something like that.
Okay. Well, this is going great for me today.
Yeah.
Okay. What might be the problem if you receive a report that your audio signal through the repeater is distorted or unintelligible?
Mm.
A, you are in a bad location. B, your batteries are running low. C, your transmitter is slightly off frequency. D, all of these choices are correct.
Yes.
Who is sending reports about your audio signal?
So your repeater is, when you transmit into a repeater,
okay.
The repeater immediately will take that audio and simultaneously retransmit it.
Right.
With more power, generally.
But are they kicking back signal, like
no,
reports
somebody
to
is
you?
Literally going to, when you stop talking, somebody's going to come back and go, hey, your audio sounds like crap.
Oh, well, it could be any of these things. You could be in a bad location, so you don't have good mm-hmm. signal propagation. Mm-hmm. Your batteries could be running low, so you're low power and you're not able to get your signal out. And then your transmitter frequency could be slightly off, right? And you need to, like, move
Give it a little bit.
Yeah. Right? So all of these choices are correct.
Yes.
Yes.
You didn't need any help on that one.
Yeah, no.
You got it.
No. But when somebody says report, I'm assuming there's like this.
They sent me this letter. It's 4 pages long. This guy's really angry.
How did he even know where I was? He said he couldn't hear me.
I think he doth protest too much.
Okay. What?
You're blown right through these.
Are we going? Somebody tell us. Are we going faster than we normally do? Mm-mm. It feels faster to me.
It feels about the same to me.
Okay.
Are you done with your?
Does this feel like a slog to you when we're going through the questions, or is it just really entertaining that I'm getting things wrong?
I'd say it's a little of column A, a little of column B. There's some times where I find it really enjoyable, and there's other times where it's, like, tough for me because obviously I can't see the diagram, so I'm trying to, like, suss it out from you.
Sure. Don't you think I'm describing them fairly
well? Oh, yeah, you're describing them very well, yes. But, like, I could immediately just look at it and go, oh, it's that thing.
Yeah, but everybody listening to the podcast can't do
this
that.
Is
That's
true.
Not fair.
This is true. They're literally using their mind's eye.
We should actually make you do this blindfolded so that you could really experience it.
Okay, so
put you on a Peloton.
What?
While we're recording.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of people are using this as a part of their daily commute or physical fitness. So
you want to fitness?
Yes.
For the out of breath ham radio podcast?
Yeah, people like that. That's an interesting ASMR.
Okay, keep going. Jeez.
What is the impedance of most coaxial cables used in amateur radio installations? 50 ohms, 600 ohms, 8 ohms, 12 ohms. Literally, there's no way I know this.
And it's like,
you know it or you don't. Yeah.
And it is, that is it.
Yeah. I don't think it's 600.
Sure.
Right? That seems
excessive.
Yeah. I'm going to go 12 ohms.
You're going to go 12?
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know. Why are you going 12?
Well, because there's two that are very low numbers and two that are very high numbers. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go with the low number area.
So test taking 101, is that what you would normally do in a multiple choice test?
I feel like most of the time I would know a little more.
But test taking 101, what would be the way to take that?
Get rid of 600.
Yes.
And then go with the other category.
Okay.
Because the other option is 50. Mm-hmm. Just the way that you're... I'm just going to go 12. Oh, it's 50.
It's always 50.
Why is it always 50?
It's just always 50.
What were you trying to get at with the standardized testing?
I wanted to
testing.
Know, like, you know how to take multiple choice tests probably better than I do, just in the blind. So I was wondering.
Well, 8 and 12 were so close together in number. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of
50 is kind of like the middle of the ground option for me. So that's been the one. 600 is obviously like way out of bounds. That's like what professional, super professional microphone.
Okay, so explain to me what an impedance is.
That's like your resistance in ohms.
Oh.
So like the resistor, it would be like a 50 ohm resistor. Coax is a 50 ohm impedance to the antenna. So going back to the standing wave ratio thing when you're tuning an antenna.
Yeah.
If you're using coax, you want the impedance of that antenna to be 50 ohms for the frequency in which you're going to transmit.
So... why would you want your coax to have any impedance at all? Why wouldn't you want...
because they have to match. Otherwise, they would show a mismatch and your standing wave ratio would be out of whack. And you wouldn't be able to get your power output from the radio to the antenna.
But, I mean, can't you control that through your amplifier?
I mean, there is some things amplifiers can do. But at the end of the day, because you were using coax, you must have the same impedance on the transceiver, the coax, and the antenna.
So is that just the standard then?
Yes, it is just the standard. We could make the standard any impedance in ohms in coax.
So, but like, so all antennas are going to be at the 50 ohms.
Almost.
All coax will be at the 50.
So if the antenna is fed by coax, it will be 50 ohms in almost all
what
cases.
What else could it be fed with?
Ladder line.
What? What is that?
It is wire that is literally two wires that are separated by a plastic piece, and they look like a ladder when you look at them.
Why would somebody use that over coax?
Okay, so this is we're not completing your cram session if you want to go down this rabbit hole, because this is a whole thing. Okay, before World War II, everything was fed with ladder line.
Oh my God.
In World War II.
I'm not prepared.
Before, when World War II came around, everybody was like, look at this amazing thing we created called coax. It's literally a flexible wire that we can drag around, and it is a whole antenna feed line system. It has your negative side and your positive side of the antenna wrapped in an insulator, so it's protected from the elements. The only downside is what we did was we took the center connector, the part that the power is going out of the transceiver on, and we wrapped it with an insulator, and then wrapped that with a braided coax, braided copper line over the top of it. That is an unbalanced feed line.
Okay.
Because the negative side of the antenna feed line is literally wrapped around the positive side. So for the sake of simplicity and convenience of having a wire that we can drag through our backyard up a tree, we have now have to deal with the fact that we have to always match 50 ohms impedance.
Interesting.
So the antennas have to be made for 50 ohms impedance. The feed line must be matched to 50 ohm impedance.
Do they still make antennas that
use ladder line?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And ladder line's actually really effective because it's very low losses. Going back to the loss discussion, coax has more problems with loss by its
Why?
Very nature. Because again, you took your center connector and you wrapped it in the second one, separated by an insulator. So it's unbalanced.
Okay.
There's way more of this jacket on the outside than the center pin.
Oh, so the ladders are perfectly balanced.
They're perfectly balanced wires that are always equally spaced away from each other. So your positive side of your antenna and negative side of the antenna, the feed line, they're right next to each other. They're always spaced the same. You have to have a special box to interface that to transceivers nowadays. But in the past and still today, ladder line fed antennas are very low loss. The problem is a ladder line fed antenna generally has to be away from anything that's conductive, because that will mess with the whole thing, because it stops being in balance, right? It starts getting coupled with the metallic substances that are around it. It's highly affected by metallic stuff. Are you done with the
I think I still have a little
oh
more.
My God. Okay, you don't like this sake very much.
I do like it.
So that was a bit of a, and I, of course I'm not doing it. I'm not doing due diligence in explaining this.
Yeah.
But remember, a dipole is a balanced antenna. It's two legs that hang out. They're equally lengthed.
Right.
That's balanced. That's like a ladder line.
I see.
So if you took those two legs, connected them to ladder line, and just went right down to your transmitter, that's balanced all the way down. But if
you'd have very little loss.
Very low loss. But if you take the two balanced pieces of the dipole, connect it to coax, it becomes unbalanced.
So then do you have to shift your two lines so that they kind of correlate to the imbalance in the coax?
The lines must be cut appropriately for the frequency you want the antenna to be resonant on, and must present a 50 ohms impedance to match the feed line, which is 50 ohms, and the transceiver, which is expecting a 50 ohm impedance. So they all have to match. And it's because we're using coax.
Interesting. I just realized that earlier when we started taking the test, I did the math wrong in my head.
Mm-hmm.
because I drank too much sake.
We haven't even drank that. I mean, we got through one bottle, but it's 300
milliliters. I had a beer earlier.
Oh, jeez. Okay. A little pregame, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
A little pre-podcast gaming.
And I was like, oh, it's not that many questions. Actually, it is a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's like 18, right? No, it's 12.
Yeah, it was 12 questions. I had
inverted. We normally do 5 a show.
Yeah.
6 if we're moving. We're not moving.
Yeah. That's...
We're 40 minutes in right now.
Oh, no. Okay. How does the wavelength of a radio wave relate to its frequency? Can I just stop here?
Let's finish this one.
We're so far into it.
Just finish it.
I'm just kidding.
Just finish this one. Last one.
How does the wavelength of a radio wave relate to its frequency?
Mm-hmm.
A, the wavelength depends on the bandwidth of the signal. B, there is no relationship between wavelength and frequency. C, wavelength gets longer as the frequency increases. D, wavelength gets shorter as the frequency increases.
She's doing...
The wavelength gets shorter as the frequency increases. That's my guess.
Nailed it.
Awesome.
Perfect. And I saw you doing a little wavy thing with your hand, and then you took your fingers and you made it smaller, like there was something in it, and you were squishing it.
Well, I was imagining what a frequency does. And
the frequency?
If you get more frequency, then the distance between the waves shrinks.
So you increase the frequency, wavelength. That's why the 80-meter band is... 3.5 to like 3.8 megahertz. The VHF 2-meter band is 144 megahertz.
Oh, because they're far.
The frequency is super tiny on 144, but 80 meters is, you know, very wide. Well, that very wide wavelength requires a big antenna.
Oh, I see.
Perfect. That's it right there. That's all it is in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, it really requires a diagram, though.
You did it with your hand.
Yeah.
You're good. You're ready to go
so
make
scientific.
An antenna. Oh, my gosh. Look at you. No, seriously, that was good. What you did, like, I could watch you work it out. That meme with the woman, she's like going, and then all the math is happening around her. I just saw that.
Yeah,
basically.
Wonderful.
I saw that, but you
wonderful.
Going with your hand.
Just like, my head, the area around my head was aglow with wavelengths.
No, you did it with your hand.
Yeah.
You did it. You modeled it. Exactly. I was very proud.
Wow.
Well, we'll call that, what do we call your segment of taking the test? We got to come up with a catchy name.
A catchy name?
How is the...
I don't know what's happening. My phone's on silent.
Is it? We got to come up with a catchy name for Leia and her... Everything is beeping.
Apologies.
Please send Leia a title for our segment of Leia taking the test. And you can send her a message at leia@hamtactical.com.
Leia takes on the technician test. That's so many words.
So it good.
I'm going to keep drinking, guys.
Okay. And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. So today... We're going to talk about the big discussion this morning, Leah. I'm calling it the CW faux pas.
Okay.
I woke up. I'll set the stage and I'll let you take. And then I want to hear your side of it because I kind of just threw it all at you.
No, I want to tell my side first.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Because my
I
side
was
happened
thinking about
before
my husband and how much
your,
I love him. And I woke up and I'm like, gosh, I think Josh would really like it if I did a post about Morse code. No, okay, just kidding. Go ahead.
So, again,
I brought visual
aids,
by the way.
I
have so many things to talk about. I'm just kidding.
What are the visual aids? Okay, so I run the Ham Tactical Facebook group, which I aggregate. I haven't been very good about it recently because life is so busy. But I try to aggregate interesting ham radio news, like different contests or cool things hams have done in the recent news. The ARRL and Southgate and stuff like that, they do a pretty good job of that. But they don't usually cover the same things.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a cool thing to just go. And I thought maybe it would motivate me to also be like, yeah, let's pass that test.
And Josh woke up, kicked that door down and said, yeah. Let's just piss all over this fire.
And I also, the Ham Tactical Instagram is actually featuring other users.
Did I give you some of this yet? Are you?
No, I'm not even there yet. So for the Ham Tactical Instagram, Josh actually sends me a lot of those things. Or
things that I like that I stumble across.
Yeah.
Cool radios. Yeah. I try to follow like a ton of people on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I am just constantly impressed by what I see.
Yeah.
So many cool radios. Instagram ham radio is awesome.
But I am on Ham Tactical's Facebook page like all alone. Josh doesn't populate
all
any
by
news. So when I logged into my Facebook, I want to say last night, I saw, or was it early this morning? Ah, oh, time. It's all blending together for me now.
It was dark out. I remember that much.
And Josh's aunt, actually. It was
what?
The other, she's actually Leah Ness.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's married to
So I got to go yell
uncle.
At her now?
She shared it.
To who?
To Facebook.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool because it is a way for somebody to use the letters.
Mm-hmm.
To remember
the alphabet, literally the alphabet,
the capital letters.
Yes.
To then remember how many dots and dashes are in.
So they have superimposed dots and dashes over the alphabet.
And for me, somebody learning Chinese, that makes perfect sense.
It does. It on first glance, it makes so much sense to think about Morse code in that capacity. Immediately, though, when I woke up, I'm not even half awake. Leia did this. She had made a matcha drink for me in the morning and put it on the nightstand. I woke up. Matcha's a really
I'm making
great,
bacon.
I know.
I'm toasting my homemade bread.
Man. I apologize for how I handled this in the morning. What I have to say after that apology remains the same, but I apologize for how I reacted and handled the
situation.
If
you have to say but at the end of an apology, that is what they call...
Per my last email.
A non-apology.
So I come out, I'm drinking my matcha, I'm trying to wake up. Matcha is actually a really good way to wake up in the morning. I've noticed it's really good.
It's a really mellow caffeine.
Yeah, it brings you right up into the day versus like caffeine's like, get the F up. Let's
oh,
go.
You guys might not know this. I'm a little hippy dippy.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And then again, that's motherhood that brought that on.
Yeah, I do some granola things.
Mm-hmm. So I'm drinking my matcha and she's like, oh, I made this post. It's a really cool way. And you said the word visual, I think, visually.
Yes.
And it was like record scratch moment. I was like,
you were like, take this down right now. Whoa, man.
Why are you harshing my butt? I'm vibing. I'm just vibing.
Just trying to make my bacon, deciding whether or not
I'm going
to do
it. It was like, have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live skit where it's one of the old ones with Chris Farley in it? And he's having a nice dinner. He's in a fancy restaurant. And like, you know, everybody's having a good time. The atmosphere is really nice. And then like, it was like Phil Hartman comes in and goes, we secretly switched this man's regular coffee with Folgers decaf.
Oh no!
And then they cut to him. They cut to Chris Farley, and he's drinking. He's just so happy. Like Chris Farley was really emotes when he was happy, and you saw this guy come in and whisper in his ear, like, pew, 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 like he was telling him that we gave him the decaf.
Yeah.
And his face it is like the most visceral change.
So
from
enraged.
So happy to just so enraged. And I believe he starts just wrecking the joint, just smashing everything up, flipping tables and all that stuff. It's one of my favorite SNL skits.
That's actually kind of appropriate.
But so I kind of panicked because sending that message goes diametrically opposed from everything I've been telling people from the moment I've started the Ham Radio Crash Course and all the work I've done with the Long Island CW Club, like everything.
And I do really try to stay on message.
No, yeah,
for
I know.
Everything that you do.
And again, I apologize for how I reacted. I think I'm over talking it a bit.
No, then I argued
did
back.
It. You did.
Yes.
You did. And that's probably what led to a lot of this discussion. But I thought it would be good to explain it to you in this forum and have you ask questions?
Well, you had said, do you, because I did liken it to learning Chinese, right?
Yes.
The pictograms. And then you were like, do you try to speak Chinese as fast as you can? And I wanted to say, have you ever been to a Chinese restaurant?
Those are people speaking Cantonese. That's different. I'm kidding.
No, Chinese is spoken very quickly.
No, this is like the Micro Machine commercial guy fast. Remember the Micro Machine guy?
Yeah.
The Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest talker? That's the level you're trying to achieve with Morse code.
Okay.
Okay. So let me break this down. And it takes a little bit of history. Again, I'm not a ham radio historian, but it is important to understand this point. So,
if you are, we're welcome to hear your comments.
Yeah. Up until 1991, there was a Morse code requirement for technicians. You had to show that you knew how to send and receive Morse code at 5 words per minute.
Okay.
Okay. I want to demonstrate what 5 words per minute sounds like to you.
Is this a recording or can
I'm
this?
I'm going to do this right now.
I find this.
Okay.
I thought that you still weren't very. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah. I already screwed it up.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
We could do a recording.
No,
okay.
No.
You don't have to.
No. I've got to get it. That was 15 words. That's why. Here we go. That was Hialeah, although I screwed up the E, but anyway. That was Hialeah in 5 words per minute, okay?
Why doesn't your Morse key have like any walls around it? It's just
a
top and a...
This is not, I'm holding it up at the microphone too. This is not a good operating position. This is Hialeah in 15 words. That's Hialeah in 15 words per minute. Okay. There is a mental break that people have at going any slower than 15 words per minute.
So they just like have nervous breakdowns?
Yeah, literally. And I'll explain why. If you go slower than 15 words per minute, you begin counting dits and dahs. And going back to the 5 words per minute, right? When you hear a dit versus a dah, right? You get the, that's 15, right? That's mm-hmm. just really fast. 5 words. That's an H. You're counting in your head. Oh, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's an H. You can't go faster than 5 words, 10 words per minute at max if you're counting the dits and dahs in your head.
Okay.
It's like you're using your brain. You're using your ears to hear the dits. You're counting them in your brain, and then you have a conscious thought. That's H. The way they teach people Morse code now is to hit them with 15 words per minute, right? And hit them with the correct letter. Oh, I'm hitting it accidentally. 5. That's a 5. Okay? That's an L. That's an R. You're learning the tonal quantity or the tonal sound of the character without counting the dits and dahs. You're always hearing an R at did it.
But this is why I'm liking it to Chinese, because Chinese has like 5 tones. You could spell one word the exact same way,
yeah.
but the tones are totally different.
Correct.
Right? And
yes.
the way that the tones are, like in Cantonese, right? Ga-ga-ga-ga. Mm-hmm. That's all spelled the same way, mm-hmm. but the tones are totally different, making them different words.
Yeah, but the word, the tone, is not made up of 4 unique tones that add up to 1. An L is dit-da-dit-dit. And if I give it to you as dit-da-dit-dit, and you learn it by seeing a dit-a-da and then 2 dits, you're going to memorize dit-da-dit-dit the way it looks versus how it sounds. And to get the conscious
okay.
thought out of your brain that, oh, I heard a dit. Okay, that's 1 dit. I heard a daw. That's 1 daw.
Well, then
and I
could,
had
you
2 more theoretically, dits.
Could you theoretically learn it by like A is what?
Dit daw.
So could you write an A and then below it write dit daw?
No, because you can't learn it visually. you can learn it visually, but the problem is you will never progress faster than about 10
words per
minute.
But if you spell out da-da, right, then you're not counting the pieces, you're recognizing the sound.
Once your eyes start looking at da-da, you're starting to build a memory of da-da as visual instead of da-da as sound.
Okay.
So when you put up a YouTube video that like walks through all the characters, you want it to be da-da. A.
So no visual at all? You've got to use
almost
audio
no
flashcards?
Visual at all. You want audio all the way. And again, there's a very specific reason. If you are trained to the alphabet by hearing it, there's no processing going between thinking about the visual expression of A versus the sound of A. If I just drill into
you... I just find this so hard to believe.
I'm just not used to the Morse Reno, but...
You know what? This is what I want to know.
I'm holding it too long.
Dear Ham Radio Crash Course listeners, if you learned CW and you can do it at the 15 words per minute, right? Is that the benchmark?
How you train people now. The way we train people in Morse code now, the way the Long Island CW Club does it, for instance, and among many other groups, is they train them at 50 words a minute, but they add
50?
15, and they add spacing in between the characters.
Okay.
There's multiple methods, but that's it's called Farnsworth.
Well, how many words per minute would you need to know to be considered fluent in CW? Like that you're meeting the benchmark
It's not about fluency in that sense. It's about being comfortable and capable and using it.
So what's the benchmark? How do you know that you...
Speed is not the... Again, it's not about speed. It's that when you hear an R, you can write down R or you can think R in your head.
Okay. Okay.
And it doesn't matter how fast, except when it comes to I learned first at 5 words per minute. Because if you learned at 5 words per minute, you have to untrain yourself to see the visual A as a dit and a daw and only perceive it as sound.
Okay.
Right? Because you can't progress faster. At a certain point, when you're getting all these characters slammed at you, you're still stuck at A.
Gotcha. Okay, I want to know.
Your brain can't go that fast.
I want to know from the listeners, if you are proficient in CW, I want to know how you learned. Please leave a... You can email me. You can leave it in... iTunes is probably the easiest because then we go through...
Leave it in the comments of iTunes.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is a change that's happened over time. And part of it is getting rid of the code requirement that the AWRL required. So, again, going back to the history here, 5 words per minute was what you needed for technician. And so that's what they trained. They trained you at 5 words per minute.
Gotcha.
All the flashcards, the papers that had the letters, that letter expression that you had on the Facebook, that's not new. Nobody just came up with it.
It's gone now. If you're going there to find it, it's gone. It was deleted.
But there's YouTube videos.
With such a quickness.
There's YouTube videos on it. It's existed for a long time. It's not new, right? But what's happened is since they've gotten rid of the Morse code requirement, it's allowed for people to start training at 15 words per minute.
Gotcha.
And higher. Ideally, 20 actually is where you want it to be. And they do it with two different methods. There's called the Koch method.
Okay.
The Koch method will teach you two characters to start.
Okay.
It's like an M and something else.
And then you get some stock and Coca-Cola while you're at it?
Coke. Well, it's K-O-C-H, Koch, or Coke, depending on how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the concept is...
But that's the spelling for the names of... The Koch brothers,
The Koch brothers, that's the political pact.
They owned Coke. That was my joke.
I know
it's
what the joke, they didn't own Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
What?
The Koch brothers and Coca-Cola.
I thought it was they were in, anyway. You look it up if that's what you're going to do, but I'll continue to talk about the Koch method. Yeah. The Koch method will just go at you with two characters. So it'll give you
like
an
repeatedly.
M.
You're like, M-m-m-m-m-m-m-m.
No, it'll give you an M and then it'll give you like a K. So it'll give you da da and then it'll give you da da da. And then it'll give you da da da, da da. And your idea is to hear the difference between those characters and start to remember, oh, an M is always da da. K is da da da.
Okay.
And you just do that over and over again. And when you feel pretty confident that you know what an M and a K is, then you add the next letter, which could be like an I or an R. There's a prescribed character progression.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the idea of the Koch method. And what they do in addition to that is they'll add a spacing in between those characters. And that's the Farnsworth method. So if you do that over and over again in practice, like okay. just listening to these characters, you're building a mental muscle memory for what it sounds like only what it sounds like. So you know R as dit-da-dit.
Okay.
That's it. Dit-da-dit. You don't know it as the visual expression of dit-da-dit. And so you're not looking to turn it from audio to visual back into an R.
Interesting.
Think about it like a computer, right? If you gave it an R in audio sense, dit-da-dit, yes. And the computer goes, well, I only know how to convert that from an R into a period, an underscore, and a period.
You're turning your brain into a computer?
And then I give that dit, period, underscore, period, to another application that takes the period, underscore, period, and then converts it into the letter R.
Gotcha.
Why not just remove that whole second part and just have dit come in and R come out?
Gotcha.
And so if you do that, you will immediately show dividends on the back end of when you start to add speed to the character progression.
Interesting.
It will literally break. So people that maybe, a lot of hams that got their license before 91 had to get 5 words per minute. And they were probably very discouraged by Morse code, because what probably happened was they got their license. They got, oh, I can do Morse code now at 5 words a minute. And they hopped on the air and they're like, all these people are doing 20 words per minute and I have no idea what they're doing.
So fast. What are they saying?
And so some of them probably stuck to it, had a lot of discipline and actually just kept at it until they broke their brain or broke that memory of visual learning.
So
to get to where they're at.
Not really a mental breakdown.
Well, they're breaking down like a muscle memory that they learned. It's like a golf swing.
I thought that people's mental health was in grave danger. What I did.
Did you ever have like I know you played golf before we met, but like, did you ever have a bad habit in golf that you had to unlearn?
Yeah.
You know how much a pain in the butt that is to unlearn?
Yeah. It takes lots of practice.
Right. So if you do something wrong, learn it wrong, you have to spend more time than how you first learned it to break that habit to learn it the better way or more appropriate way.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of the thing. That was the whole thing right there. Did you have questions or comments on
that? No,
on
it just reminded me of the conversation I had today with Ben's Kung Fu teacher. Mm-hmm. Because we set up the Kung Fu studio in our living room for him to do virtual Kung Fu classes.
It is hard to express what Leia is talking about, but we have what looks like a 1/4 scale residential road that you have laid out in tape.
It's a 20-foot by 5-foot box.
Rectangle, I would say, but sure.
Boxes can be rectangles. I didn't say square.
Okay. You got me on that one. Okay. All right.
So, and it's got a center line that is dashes.
Mm-hmm.
And the farthest point of a short side has red tape. Mm-hmm. The two long sides, one side is yellow, one side is green. And then the end side is a black line. And it's so the...
Those were requirements. That coloring was requirements?
No, but she had said if you can make the lines different colors, it would be ideal because then I could tell him to get closer to the yellow line or closer to, you know, this colored line.
Yeah, because you're literally doing this training remotely, 100% remote. Yeah. And so she has no frame of reference.
Right.
Like spatially.
Right, right. So, and he's also the youngest one in her class. She took no new students this year because she just wanted to keep working with kids that she already had started down the path and knew their strengths and weaknesses. But she asked for, he's like the first level, he's still a white belt, but the higher belts needed a 20 by 18 foot indoor space.
Is this specifically Shaolin Kung Fu?
Yeah, it's Shaolin Kung Fu.
Okay.
It's the one with the swords. That's what Ben's really excited about. He wants to get to the belt with the swords.
Our house is not prepared for swords.
Hopefully COVID will be resolved by the time he gets to that belt level. But one of the things I was telling her is that when Ben was in Taekwondo, because that was what was offered at his preschool, I had set up tape as well for him to practice. And then she started going off on how Taekwondo is a detriment to learning the habits that would be beneficial in Kung Fu.
Oh, I like her already.
That that he's actually going to have to undo much of what he learned in Taekwondo.
Are you sure it was karate?
It was called karate, but it was Taekwondo.
It absolutely was not Taekwondo. They did very little kicking.
I have, whatever.
It was fully karate. Full on karate. Horse stance, the whole thing, that was karate.
Meaningless to me. It wasn't kung fu. It was an available martial art.
Yeah.
And
I'm not hating. I'm just saying that is not Taekwondo. I'm like, well, are we talking about the same thing here? When was he doing Taekwondo?
And so I explained to her, I was like, oh no, I'm not telling you. Because I think that the Taekwondo was helpful. I know that it wasn't helpful. Right.
You know what really beelines your advancement in this Chinese martial art? Korean kicking.
Yeah. but I was explaining to her that I'm familiar with setting up lines so that he can do the right stances. And I think she didn't believe me.
You wanted her to feel the utmost confidence in her ability to lay down lines on the ground, is what you're
saying.
And
I don't think she believed me.
And then you showed her this,
she was like, that's perfection. I didn't know that this could be accomplished in a house.
And then you said, like, thank the Koreans.
No, I did not say that. But man, she is a tough woman, and I have the utmost respect for her. And when she praised me, I felt like $1 million. This is like such a powerful coaching mentality.
It's a power move.
Like, just to be full of doubt and unwavering standards.
You didn't get that feeling from Sifu Bud? Remember Sifu Bud?
So you did Wing Chun.
Wing Chun, Jeet Kune Do, Eskrima, and Kali.
And so Ben was really excited. And then when I was like, oh, it's Shaolin Kung Fu, you're like, I know nothing about that. Ben's face just fell. Just so sad.
I don't. It's very different. Right. I mean, Shaolin's supposed to be like the temple monk warrior class.
Yeah.
Right?
But because they were out of temples, it's probably the most widespread, because the temples would just train tons of kids whose parents signed them up.
Sure. I mean, but arguably Ip Man and Wing Chun and correlation, Bruce Lee, who adopted a lot of that into Jeet Kune Do, that whole thing. Now, I'm not making an argument of any of this being like street applicable self-defense. I'm not saying.
Sure.
But.
Teaches great discipline, though.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyways, my point was that when you were talking about having to undo all of this, I'm just looking at the Kung Fu studio that we built, thinking how.
Actually, we teach Kung Fu, but it's Morse code based.
Yeah.
So your thumb and ring finger. There's prawn style with your thumb and ring finger. And there is a turtle style. That's for the people that know 5 words per minute. Yeah. And when you get up to, when you get over 30 words per minute, then it's mantis shrimp.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
They do punch very fast and hard.
Yeah, you're literally breaking, you're creating little
sound barrier.
Little sound bubbles when you attack the paddles with your prowess in CW Kung Fu. There's actually a YouTube channel called CW Ninja, I believe, or it's like an app. It's a website that, like, as you're learning CW, you can go to videos, and it's the same thing. It'll show you an A and then give you A. Da, 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 over and over again.
Gotcha.
Da, 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 da.
All right.
So Yeah, so interesting concept. There are parallels to the learning and unlearning. Now, the great thing about getting rid of the 5 words per minute requirement in CW is that we're actually, the FCC has gotten out of the way in having people learn Morse code the most effective way possible. Arguably, although I may not be the one to argue this point, it's probably easier for people to become proficient in CW today than it's ever been.
Sure.
Because we've gotten better at learning.
There's so much resources to tap.
Yeah, we've gotten better at how brains learn things. Right. The way we approach
they teaching. Created an RPG so that you could learn CW. Mm-hmm. Every time you want to attack in a battle, you have to properly identify what's
It's like the Prodigy Math app, yes. But it's for Morse code. Well, they do have an app called Morse Toad. And it's actually like a story that you work through.
That's amazing.
The one I'm using right now is called Morse Machine. And it's probably the best one you can get, I think, so far.
Does it send you rewards?
Like a slot machine? No. I will say, though, I did successfully complete a Morse code contact last week.
Really?
Yeah. Adam.
So you think, Kate, or for sure you did?
For sure. Okay. K6ARK did a Summits on the Air activation of Palomar Mountain.
Oh, cool.
Which is a drive up. So you actually drive right up to the summit. You can set up your radio and mm-hmm. play radio. And he was hopping all over the place. I don't think I could hear him on single sideband, but I could hear him on Morse code. So I went, what the hell? And I just went for it. And I don't think I did it the appropriate way, like the exchange was correct, but he got the 599 from me because his signal strength was 5.9 into my receiver.
Okay.
And I did my call. I did his call. I said, thank you. And that was it. I did the thing.
Wow.
It was actually.
Well done.
I had a couple of beers in me already. Okay. So the stress level was a little low.
Nice.
Felt a little loose.
CW and beer.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I think that helps a little bit.
Does it?
It's like I told you about the Bomber curve, right?
No.
Bomber. He's the guy who used to be the CEO of Microsoft. The caveman.
And he would
dude.
Just drink all day? Or?
No. So what's his name? I can't remember his first name. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So he, I don't think it was him who came up with this, but there's this concept in software development called the Bomber curve. And there is the right amount of alcohol that you can intake mm-hmm. that you become extremely good at software development. You get into the zone. It's kind of like drinking whiskey and then writing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
okay.
But you have to maintain.
This doesn't encourage alcoholism at all.
No.
Go on.
No. But you have to maintain.
This is something that ad men in the 50s used to believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll just keep drinking. I'll just keep drinking until I'm better at pool, right? How many times has somebody said that before?
This ad campaign needs more scotch.
Yes. But the balancing act is once you hit the peak of the curve, it's not about how much you can drink at that point. It's about sustaining this level that you've attained. Drink too much, you fall off the curve and you are
worse off
than ever before.
Yeah.
But if you don't keep it up, that is super detrimental to how loose and flowing the code is through your fingers, kind of thing.
Wow.
Very interesting, the Bomber curve.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
No.
I
mean, I know through practice that I have been in the Bomber curve.
How long does that last? Like 5 minutes? And then
No. It was pretty good, but it's like, it is a balancing act. You can't just be like sipping on beer the whole time. You have to like regimentally kind of keep track.
You
got to
meditate
doing.
While you're doing it.
No, it's
really be in tune with your alcoholic.
It's not like if I take a sip every 5 minutes, I'll maintain this steady drip of alcohol. It doesn't work that way because you eventually get to the point of like you're drinking too much to maintain.
Right.
So it's a constant like throttle back and forth until you're kind of like just.
Yeah, I feel like you practice that a lot on Saturdays.
I'm not coding, though. What are you talking about? You're talking about their live stream?
Yeah. Oh.
Some
I have
live
seen
streams
people
are different
get
than
upset when you drink water instead of beer.
People have started wondering what's in my giant hydro flask, the brown one. It's just water.
They're like, why is she drinking moonshine out of that thing?
Oh my God. It's water.
It is a growler size.
It is a growler. Yeah. Yeah. I bought it specifically for that.
But now you just drink water out of it.
I just drink water.
Still cold.
Still cold.
That's the hydro flask.
That's right.
Motto. Still cold.
Well, guys and gals, I should say. Not
gals.
You. Yeah?
Gals.
Gals? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, gals.
Yeah.
And guys, those who gals. Don't, you know, want to identify, that's fine too. Everybody, thank you for listening. Leia, do you have any parting words? Did we answer your CW questions? Do you get where I'm coming from now?
Yeah. Do you want to hammer it home a little bit more?
I want to beat you.
I'm sorry I posted that. I just beat you back, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, anything else? Did we hit all your bullet points for today?
Oh, I didn't have any bullet points.
No bullet points, huh?
I thought you were handling the show notes.
I did. I think we're good. We got there.
Oh, no. You know what? There. You're so right. Texas and Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
We are thinking of you today. Mm-hmm. I don't know when this posts. I think it's usually Friday. Mm-hmm. Tonight is a Wednesday night for us. Mm-hmm. So, things are getting very serious where you are. We hope everybody stays very safe. And my question related to that is, what should ham radio operators everywhere right now be doing to help Texas and Louisiana?
I am monitoring its progression. It has basically made landfall at this point. There is a hurricane watch net, which is quite interesting if you are on HF. I will give you the frequencies right now to pay attention to. The hurricane watch net is on 20 meters and 40 meters. It starts at 7 a.m. CDT, which is mountain time, I believe, at 14.325 megahertz, 20 meters, and is on 40 meters as propagation changes. So remember we talked about as 20 meters dies right off at nighttime. They migrate to 7.265 megahertz for 40 meters. And it is active now. It's showing basically they're almost completely landed the hurricane.
Yeah. Is it one hurricane or is it multiple hurricanes?
I thought it was two at some point. Yeah. I unfortunately, because I'm not really affected by this, I don't paid the utmost attention to it.
I'm pretty sure it's two.
At some point, and then maybe they merged together. I don't know.
I do actually have friends who were saying that they were ready to open for school, and because the hurricane was coming, they shut the schools back down.
It's crazy.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
This is not. Did you hear that in Italy they had a ton of bees die? This is a shout out to Good Game. Good Game Outdoors.
He dropped the bees from his YouTube channel.
Oh, he did. Oh,
well, I mean,
Steve.
He still has the bee videos, but it used to be like Good Game, Ham Radio, and Bees, I think was his YouTube channel, like the whole thing.
Yeah. I thought he was teaching his bees Morse code so they could go around sending his message, like homing bees.
He's like, go to all the summits.
Yeah.
Go now. Use my call sign.
But the bees in Italy dying off significantly. I mean,
did they get COVID or something?
Did somebody think about the wine? Is now the time to buy 2020 Italian wine while it's still available?
Were you big into Italian wine? I was never big into Italian wine. I preferred French wine.
You would drink a Chianti.
It's pretty sweet.
No, Chianti is not sweet. Are we talking about the same
Maybe,
thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm a pretty... I like dry.
What about Sangiovese?
Oh, yeah. You got me on a Sangiovese. Okay.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, we are thinking about everybody in that is being affected by any disaster. And pretty much that's everybody at this point in the entire planet.
I mean, it's just getting worse.
It's just getting worse.
I mean, we've got earthquakes. We did have an earthquake today, yesterday?
Hell, North Carolina's having earthquakes. Everybody's having
earthquakes.
How
is that even happening? The South, I am so sorry.
I'm so sorry, the South.
I just feel like Mother Nature is not being kind to the South right now.
Oh, bless their hearts.
That's actually an insult. You know that, right? That's not a nice thing to say.
I'm kidding. But no, seriously, the Facebook posts I've seen today and yesterday about getting ready for the hurricanes, like, no joke.
I heard that in those areas, there's a run on brisket, crawfish.
Oh, dude.
And
of course.
Was it bourbon?
Oh, definitely. What? Sure. Yeah. Like, yeah. But, I mean, to be honest.
Is that true? I don't know. I didn't know if that was a joke or if that's for... So if you're from the South and when you face a natural disaster, are there shortages of brisket and crawfish? Because...
It's entirely possible that in Louisiana, if a hurricane comes through, a lot of the crawfish just straight die.
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, if you think about it.
They can't just...
Flooding, pollution, all that stuff will just kill them.
I thought they were just such hardy creatures. Like, they could survive so many.
I'm sure that they are. I'm sure that many will survive. But the total population probably drops.
I also learned the phrase derecho today.
I don't even know what that is.
It's some kind of storm that causes damage. I think it happened in, like... Cedar Rapids?
Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a
derecho. You talking about the massive floods? Cedar Rapids floods really hard.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Well, thoughts out to everybody who is experiencing a natural disaster. If you have advice for other hams on what they can be doing to help you, you know, maybe staying off your bands or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, definitely don't interfere with the Hurricane Watch Net.
Yes.
Yeah, please, geez, listen to the Hurricane Watch Net. If you don't hop, you won't hear me hopping out there going, hey, I'm in California, how can I help?
Yeah.
It's like, dog.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Well, I mean, you assume that people know, but well-meaning people could possibly do that.
I'm going to be like listening and somebody's going to be like, hey, that guy Josh told me to come out here.
Yeah.
KI6NAZ.
Well, what could I do to help?
I'm in Portland.
Yeah.
You guys want some sweet
donuts?
This
is like that first responder, for COVID, like net. And it's like, what happens from the net? Like, how is it thanking first responders?
That's in prayers, man. We're just handing them out.
But I do. I mean, I feel like it's a waste not to help people who are in a bad position.
Yeah.
So let us know.
Let us know. Yeah. Let us know what we can do. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
We hope that it just, you know, hits land and then dies out. Right.
Yeah.
But it's category 4, so it's probably not. Louisiana has a bad track record with hurricanes, so
I know.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye out. So yeah, hit up Leia at hamtactical.com. Of course, you can message me too if you have a ham radio question, but you know, specifically with regards to the podcast. And I think that's how we'll leave it. So thank you, Leia, for bringing that up. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I knew you had something else in there. We had to just get
buzzing
it
around my head.
Just get it out. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. I am Josh, KI6NAZ, from the Ham Radio Crash Course. Thank you so much for listening. 73.
73.